You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's dance-off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilp.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Ladies and gentlemen, and everybody who identifies halfway in between, welcome to another Friday night of the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show on Trent Radio. I'm your host, Martin, and with me in the studio today are...
Chris Ellis.
Chris Gilpin.
How are you guys doing today? What's up?
I'm pretty good. Yeah.
I had a very unproductive, well, maybe productive, depends on how you look at it, week. Yeah, I had the week off. It was a mental health week. So
nice.
I just sat there sorting books.
Yeah. Oh.
Sorting books. 11 short boxes.
Nice.
Sorted, bagged, boarded, put away in my storage locker. All nice and neat, alphabetical. So I feel kind of accomplished.
There you go.
And the other thing I have done is I haven't had coffee in a week.
Ooh.
No coffee?
No coffee.
Really?
No caffeine, soda pop.
What brought this on?
I don't know. I just slept in and missed morning coffee. And then it was like, oh. Okay, well, I got stuff to do, and then didn't swing by the Timmy's, and then evening, and it's like, oh, I don't want to not be able to wake up in the morning, and I just stopped drinking. It's kind of weird.
Really?
And so, just out of curiosity, how's your allergies? Changed at all since you cut that stuff out?
No, I'm not sure, because I've been taking the allergy pills, so gosh, only knows.
Okay. I was just asking.
Because my eye gets twitchy this time of year.
Oh.
It gets all pasty and milk.
Mine waits till August.
One of my coworkers mentioned he's completely, he's basically anti-pop, but definitely anti-aspartame. But
yeah.
He says that his allergies are bad right now.
Yeah.
But if he drinks a Diet Pepsi, they go away totally.
Well, that's the other thing. I haven't had any aspartame at all.
Yeah.
I had a can of pop that has like stevia in it instead of sugar.
Yeah.
That was Sunday. Yeah, Sunday. So.
Mr. Healthy.
I don't know about healthy.
I can't stand the taste of aspartame. It's terrible. Oh, that's terrible, too.
So what have you got, Chris? What's up?
Can we talk about The Walking Dead? Or
let's talk about
soon?
The Walking Dead. Spoilers. Right now, if you haven't read the darn issue, just turn the radio off and just go away and do something self-pleasing, whatever you need to do. Go do some yoga. Go do some whatever.
Yeah.
Turn Facebook on.
Or turn Facebook on, because we're just going to blow the roof off of this.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like Facebook done. Did for us.
Yeah. Facebook destroyed it for everybody else, so we're going to destroy it now for everyone else. So just 3, 2, 1, go.
Rick Grimes is dead.
Rick Grimes shot right in the forehead. Doosh.
By a little kid.
Boosh.
By his own little kid, right? I haven't read the issue yet, but from what I read... Okay, let's go back an issue. So the issue before that, you know, surprisingly, the gang gets into trouble with the new bad guys.
No.
Yes.
Can't imagine.
And half the bad guys join forces with them. And everybody's just about to kill each other when Rick steps up and gives one of his speeches.
Nice.
We are the Walking Dead. I think he actually said that again. And then I think they arrested the president, she calls herself.
I think so, yeah.
And her son, the spoiled little Brad, goes, mommy, mommy. And they didn't do anything to him. He walks away. So later, this is the last month's issue. Rick's in bed, wakes up, and here's the little Brad son with a gun. They talk for a few minutes, and then the guy just shoots him square in the chest. Like, blood's just... spewing out of his chest. So
who, Rick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're going like, you can't really survive from a gunshot wound straight to the chest like that. And not blood pouring out.
Not typically.
No. Maybe if you hit his shoulder. But
the invincible shoulder.
Yeah, that's right. But apparently, he did get him. Because the issue that was out this week that everyone's buying every copy they can find.
I can imagine, yeah.
Yeah. From my understanding, because it was spoiled for me, I haven't read it yet, but it was spoiled on Facebook. Carl goes to check on Dad, and there's Dad brains, and
yep.
Carl shoots him.
Yep, one dead Rick.
Yeah, and then apparently Carl catches the son.
Yeah,
which and then he goes, I'm not gonna kill you. I'm just gonna put you in jail like we did Negan or something. Yeah. It's like, yeah. Are you serious? Just shoot him.
Shoot him in the head.
Yeah, he's a little kid. But, you know, Carl did shoot that other kid, right?
Yes.
You know, the kid who killed his own brother.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah, it's very... I mean, we all know he's so-called dead on the show, which he isn't.
Yeah.
But they think he is.
I saw something else on Facebook. They said that he was... spotted in Fear of the Walking Dead. Apparently, in the last episode of the Fear of the Walking Dead, if you watch, apparently you can see Rick Grimes in it. Ooh. Don't quote me. I don't watch it. I just saw it on Facebook.
You're making that up.
I'm not making it up. No, somebody else must have made it up.
Not you. They're making that up because I watched it yesterday. There's only one episode out yet.
Okay.
Of Fear of the Walking Dead.
Okay, but if you're Andrew Lincoln and you're still running around Georgia or wherever they're filming this, wouldn't you just like to mess with everybody and like, can I be a background character? We'll just keep it quiet. I'll just walk through the scene. Nobody will say anything. It'll be awesome.
Yeah.
The interwebs will implode.
Unless he was a zombie, maybe. I don't know.
Then everybody will try and buy that issue too.
Yeah. That's the one thing I don't get is technically he was shot in the chest. Mm-hmm. Last issue, right. 191.
Yeah.
Now.
But it's the first appearance of Zombie Rick.
First appearance of Zombie Rick.
That's right.
People are buying up every single copy they can get.
It's going to be worth $2,000.
Yeah.
Just like number one.
Yeah. Even though it's like the print run is like 100 times the size. But anyways, I was actually shocked. Like,
I'm surprised too because it... even when I was reading back, actually, I was surprised when they cut his hand off.
Yes.
I'll be straight up surprised. I was like, oh my goodness, what did they just do? They just like mutilated their hero of this book.
Yeah.
So that was pretty early on, wasn't it?
That was very early.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
the governor.
The governor, yes. That was a way back.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they didn't do it on the TV show.
No.
Too much CGI, maybe.
Yeah. They kind of set it up. They looked like they were going to do it. And I'm like, no, they're not going to do it. And then they didn't. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Because that would have been a nightmare.
Yeah.
Because if you read the comics, even for the guys drawing it, his hand goes back and forth depending on what he's trying to do, right? So it's kind of funny. But
yeah. So, I mean, you're issue 192. Issue 200 is coming up. Big issue. You think you might want to wait?
I don't know. Apparently, they're closing her down for 200. That's kind of the rumor.
Yeah,
that's what the mill is spewing out. So I imagine the pre-orders for 200 are going to be pretty stinking high.
Yeah. Yeah. Fortunately, I still have it on my pull list at CBA.
Yeah. There you go.
I went into the Grey Guardian after work, and they laughed at me.
What are you looking for? No way.
You're number 12. You're the 12th person that's asked for this. It's like, oh, okay.
And they probably didn't get more than one, I would imagine.
Yeah. So, yeah. Hopefully it's waiting for me at CBA because apparently Martin's buddy was at CBA and watching people pulling off the shelf.
Yeah.
I don't know if you read that or not.
No. What was that? Oh, Harry?
Harry. Thank you. He was at CBA.
Yeah.
And Steve was pulling him off the shelf?
No. He was, Harry was watching customers grab
handfuls
of them.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Apparently they're already making a second printing with Rest in Peace Rick, and it's got a special picture of him on the front and stuff.
With a bullet hole in his head.
Yeah.
You know, like back when I first started collecting comics, if you got a second print, man, that thing was worthless. That was to read and discard.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why they're so popular now. But what is it? It's the Incredible Hulk issue.
The green one.
Yeah.
Where all the Hulks kind of merged to become like the Super Hulk, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
The fourth print of that book is just out of control.
For the price of it. That's because they honestly understand rarity. Like that, I'm still thinking that fairly soon. I'm weirded out by a strange phenomenon. This can be a little bit of a tangential move, but in the United States, Marvel used to make comic books for the British market, and instead of putting cents on it, it would be pence.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And American collectors detest these things. Mm-hmm. They just like, I don't want that in my collection.
Yeah.
And yet they've got a lower print run. They were printed on the same machine at the same time. So they're considered first prints. They're not considered reprints. And they're like, it's a variant cover. Mm-hmm. And they're limited in number. So you would think they're actually more collectible. And this just brings up the whole idea of the Canadian price variance, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So all of a sudden it's like, well, this is a newsstand, so it's worth more because there was fewer of them and all this. And yet these actual rare books, these pence books,
yeah,
and these Canadian price variants, they're like, oh, that's not collectible. And yet then they go nuts over a fourth print of an Incredible Hulk issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's like, you guys are nut bars.
So if you buy a collection of comics, you got rule number one, which is Martin's, always check the inside cover for a signature.
Always check the inside front cover for a signature.
And rule number two is check for printing, I guess, which printing it is.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess it's like Killing Joke with its 20 printings.
Yeah.
All the different colors on the cover.
I got one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just came across a George Perez Teen Titans. Open the cover. There's George Perez's signature right there on the first page. I'm like, yes.
Nice. Well, see, that was the difference back in the 80s. They used to sign inside the books.
Yeah, nobody would want your cover mark.
Yeah, nobody defaced the covers. It was always on the first splash page, right across the writing in the bottom. Yeah. Typically, like not on any art.
Because that's how novels are. When you get your novel signed, it's always signed inside.
Yes, I did.
Right. You don't sign the cover, no. And then all of a sudden it's like no on the cover. I'm going to blame Stan for that. He probably couldn't see the pages well enough to open them up. He was just like, zombie-like, right? Yeah. Thing when he was getting a little older.
4,000 more to go, Stan. Yeah. Just stay with us.
Or Stan. Oh, man.
Yeah. I guess maybe that's how they snuck the Batmans in there too, right? You know, he's just signing the Spider-Man.
Oh, no, he'd sign anything.
Spider-Man, Batman.
That was a big thing for Stan. He didn't care. He'd sign anything. You gave him a copy of Action Comics, he'd sign it. You give him a copy of Batman, he'd sign it. He'd tell you know, true believer, that I had nothing to do with this issue. And they're like, I don't care. Like the guy has his signature on New Mutants 98.
Spawn number one was probably the craziest one. And like some guy wanted like $800 for it because it's Spawn number one, and two, it was signed by Stan Lee. And I'm like, what a joke. Like, poor old Todd McFarlane must be having a heart attack. Now, I know they get along, but still, like, to have him sign his book after he left the company and started his own, that's just kind of like...
Yeah, some people just don't understand the history and stuff. Oh, well.
And to me, it's simple math, but others don't look at it like that way. Like, how much is Stan's signature? $120.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, how much is Spawn number one? $50 or $60.
$40. High, if it's like... bang on.
So maybe your comic's worth $160.
Now, you gotta factor in minimum wage. You spent 7 hours in line.
Yeah, no. Sorry.
It took you 2 hours to get there by Subway.
Yeah, no.
You had to buy a $17 slice of pizza and a pop.
Yeah.
That's all gotta get factored in, man. I keep telling you, you gotta factor in all your costs.
I'll be honest. That's why I actually, from Fan Expo, their website, they had a deal. It was like $5 flat rate shipping, and I bought a Stan Lee autographed Amazing Spider-Man number one, like, I don't know what volume it was.
Yeah.
But it was just like, okay, it's Spider-Man one. He created the character or co-created the character, which is cool. So he didn't work on that book specifically, but it was a character he worked on. So I was like, for $120 and $5 to ship it,
yeah,
it was like, to go to Fan Expo, it was like a ridiculous price for to get in.
Oh, yeah.
To wait in line, get him to sign it. You know, you got to buy food and transportation and blah, blah, blah. I was like, I'm going to save myself over $200 just by buying this book and having it ship it to my house.
Yeah. I just went on eBay and I found Avengers 46 or 48 CGC yellow label verified with Stan's signature on it.
Oh, nice.
$43 US.
Oh, wow. Oh,
geez. I was like, okay.
How do you find stuff
like that? It's like grade 6 or something, like a 6.0 or something. So I'm like, I don't care. I got Stan's signature.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, I would have liked to have met the guy before he passed, but...
Well, I did, and it was just surreal.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, yeah. It was a photo op, right?
Yeah.
So you walk in, and it's like, okay, you got like 6 seconds, so don't take a lot of Stan's time, and you just walk in. How you doing, sir? Oh, pretty good, true believer. Look over there. Okay, have a good day. And that was it. I'm like, oh, okay.
You told me I did a good job, and that's burned in my memory forever.
You did a good job smiling for the camera.
Yeah, that's right. Good job.
You did a good job positioning yourself just like this. Yeah.
Next.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I've got this stunned look on my face, like, I just met a legend, and I got the derp face. Worst photo of me ever.
But, I mean, like, there's certain people that I want to meet. Like, I just want to meet Todd McFarlane.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a huge Spawn fan and have been. I know some people are like, oh, cringing in there. Like, but I've been a huge Spawn fan since the beginning. And I would just like to meet Todd McFarlane and just to talk to him and just to.
Yeah.
I mean, he seems like a really friendly guy. But I don't know. He doesn't seem to come up here very often, considering he's from here.
I think I remember him coming once to a fan expo, and I saw him from a distance.
Yeah,
I remember correctly.
Oh, he makes so much stinking money from baseball action figures that he doesn't need to come to conventions.
Yeah,
you know, that's right. And everybody's priced out of it.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know. I love meeting Chris Claremont. That was pretty cool.
Yeah,
but I'd even like to meet Rob Liefeld.
I saw I was going to, and then I saw the lineup, and I'm like, nah, yeah. I don't think so.
And I bet you 90% of those people complain about how he draws feet. Yet there they are, still in lineup for his signature.
Yeah, well, that's because they all want their New Mutants number 98 signed so they can slap a CGC label on it and get $1,200.
I get too tongue-tied. It's just like fandom kind of social anxiety. I remember I wrote an article with Eric Larson, and I misspelled his name every time I put it on the page. Either Eric was wrong or Larson was wrong, but I didn't spell it once correctly on the entire page in a different way each time. And he pointed it out on Twitter, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm just such a moron. I'm so sorry. So even my little bio says, you know, has the uncanny ability not to spell Eric Larson correctly. So I saw him at a comic convention, and I just had to say hi. And that's how I walked up to him and went, how you doing, sir? It's Martin Murdo. I'm the guy who can't spell your name correctly. He goes, oh yeah, that's hilarious. And he just started laughing. Like, yeah, oh yeah, it was fun. Sorry about that. He's like, no problem. I was just razzing you. It was all good. I'm like, yeah, it was all good. He'll and then never silence.
Forget you, right?
Yeah, and then like, silence for 10 seconds.
I love you, man.
Yeah. Don't read Savage Dragon.
Can I get a hug?
Yeah. What else can we talk about? The Blue Jays? Oh no, you're not from Toronto. Oh, okay. Small talk. All right. All right. Bye.
Well, what was it? The same year that Rob Liefeld was at the March Comic Con in Toronto, the Toronto Comic Con, Mike Zeck was there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to get my Secret Wars number 8 signed. And I saw the lineup and I'm like, you know what? I'm just not going to do it. I'm not. And he was there again this year. And I walked right up to the table and I walked right up to Mike Zeck. And I was talking to him about the Punisher because... I love Punisher, and he draws a lot of covers and stuff for them. And so he had 2 books there. So I bought his books and was talking to him. He signed them, and it was fantastic. And I was like, what was the difference? Like, it was 2 years between when he came the first time and when he came now. And I don't know what the hype was then, but like, man, the lineup was like 3 hours long. Like it snaked around. The only lineup longer was Rob Liefeld's.
Yeah.
And it was just like, what is going on here?
It could have been timing. Maybe there was some other event going on right at that moment.
Maybe.
Somebody else was like doing a press thing or a presentation or something like this. Or
was this Amazing Spider-Man?
Everybody, like that was the first time he was in Toronto and everybody got excited and everybody got their stuff signed. And 2 years later, it's like, oh, I already got it.
Yeah. The guy bringing his like grocery cart, 10 long boxes. Hey, Mike, can you sign these for me, please?
Oh my gosh, yeah. You see those guys. Oh. That's me and Sam Tweedle in line
this
for...
This is from my own personal collection.
me and Sam Tweedle in line for Chris Claremont, and some guy did that, and Sam is just like, oh my gosh. to see veins pulse out on Sam's neck, like, I was getting annoyed, but he was getting annoyed.
Yeah.
There was, like, guys butting in front of us, and then the line got cut off, and we got numbers, and he let one guy in so that he could talk to me. All of a sudden, there was, like, six guys between him and the guy he let in, and... He didn't realize that the guy he let in was like holding a spot for six other guys, and the one geez. Guy had his family there, so the brother was there, and it was just like, oh my gosh,
oh man,
it was brutal.
But that was even like this year with that one guy that you wanted to talk to at the Toronto Con. You're getting your book signed. I can't think of his name. He's an older fella.
Mm-hmm.
Your hardcover book. You and Sam were waiting to meet the guy. And
yeah, that was Chris Claremont, wasn't it?
No, you're getting a DC book.
Oh, sorry, I'm getting my names completely mixed up. No, Denny O'Neill.
Denny O'Neill.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't Chris Claremont that me and Sam were saying. It was Denny O'Neill. Yeah. It was the Denny O'Neill line.
Yeah, and so when the guy wanted to kick me out of line, I'm like, man, I'm just standing here. Just another star. But, like, you know, you got people, and the guy's, like, not a spring chicken. And they've got, like, 40 books, and they're standing in front of him. It's like, man, this is going to take a long time.
Yeah, exactly.
For him to, like, pull out all of those 80 books and sign them, and he's got, like, 15 minutes, and he's leaving to do something.
Like, I'm just a big Denny O'Neill fan, his Green Lantern, Green Arrow run. So I have a hardcover. The front page is got a Neil Adams sketch and a Neil Adams little dedication.
Yeah, that's the one.
So I'm like, okay, well, I'll get Denny O'Neill to do in the top corner and stuff like this, because I'm a big fan, and this means a lot to me. As opposed to, I'm going to bring in every single Green Lantern, Green Arrow issue that he's ever written, every Batman issue. Like, I could easily bring in three long boxes of Denny O'Neill stuff for him to sign.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Yeah. And it's what? How much is a signature?
He didn't charge
first
anything.
First book's free.
He didn't charge anything, but he did ask for donations to the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund.
Okay.
So yeah. I'm like, here's $20. Thank you very much.
I agree with the artist that do the first one free, and then after that it's...
Yeah, like if you're a fan and you just want to talk to me, say hi, and get something signed as a memento of the occasion, awesome, here you go. But if you're going to start flipping, I mean, that's why...
Well, and that's what they know. They know the guys are selling those books. It's like as soon as they get home, that book is hitting eBay.
That's why Rob Liefeld charges more for signing New Mutants 98.
Yeah.
Because he's not dumb. It's like if you're going to make profit off of my signature, then I want a part of it too.
Yeah.
Because when I met J. Scott Campbell... Before he showed up, his handler or assistant or whatever was there. And people were starting to line up around the table. Mm. And they're like, can you pass me like every single copy of comics that you got back behind there? Because they wanted to look at every one to see, make sure it was a 9.8, right?
Yeah.
But he's like, no, you can look at these four. It's like, jeez, you guys are crazy.
Yeah. Oh, but, man.
Bananas bonkers.
Yeah. I'm glad I met him.
I get, you know, wanting to meet somebody and get them to autograph a book, but just to like turn around and flip it, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I mean, yeah, okay, so you got to go to the Comic-Con for free because you sold this book, but I mean, you made 40 other people wait who actually wanted to meet the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just kind of slows the whole process down.
Yeah.
But, well, you just do what I do, is go there first and just wait for 4 hours from the show. Well, he wasn't that bad, but the problem was he didn't have his badge and they wouldn't let him into the show. So,
yeah.
Oh. But his assistant or whatever had to go and escort him back.
Nice.
I met Mike Grell at Ottawa once.
Yeah.
And, oh, did you?
And again, big fan of his because of the Green Lantern stuff and Green Arrow stuff. And so I'm like, hey, how you doing, sir? Just a huge fan. And just, just fanboying it. Right? Yeah. He just looks at me and goes, well, thank you for the groceries. And I was like, what?
Nice. He goes,
thank you for all the groceries I bought with all the money from all the stuff you bought off me. I'm like, oh, okay. I see how this works.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of interesting for him to put it in that sort of perspective because really that's what he was doing.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not buying a castle and like, you know.
No. Well, I've been watching a lot of
private jets and stuff. I've
been watching a lot of Netflix this week, right? Because, you know, sad Martin on the couch. And I have been watching a lot of Rush documentaries for some reason. I don't know why. I don't even listen to Rush, but I think I dig Rush documentaries. And Neil Peart is infamous for not understanding fandom. He doesn't get it. He's like, I appreciate the fact that you like my music, but you're not my best friend. We don't have any kind of an interpersonal relationship. So
space.
Yeah. So he doesn't get that part. And I can understand that from a creator's point of view. Like, you think you've got this relationship with this actor, actress, writer, artist, whatever, because he's been a part of, or she's been a part of your life for X number of years, but you mean nothing to them.
No.
Yeah. Like, nothing.
Yeah.
No, nothing. Well, some creators get it and understand that concept, and they're like, okay, this is my fandom. If without my fandom, I don't have sales. Mm-hmm. So I do have to, suck up to them a little bit and kind of enjoy that adulation a little bit. But if you're not a type A type person and you don't want that kind of attention, then it's like, hey, just read my comic and leave me alone.
Yeah.
Who's the other guy who's like that? The guy who wrote comic strip. Calvin and Hobbes, is he like a reclusive kind of, doesn't really do shows and stuff like this, doesn't do merchandise or anything like that? No, I think it's Calvin Hobbes. But he's not into the whole, like, he doesn't do book signings, he doesn't do appearances, he doesn't. Yeah, it
kind of makes sense. I mean, some people just don't.
Bill Waterden? Westerden?
Dig
Waterdown? Somebody will correct me.
Waterdown?
Whatever his name is. Anyways.
I don't know. I met Larry Hama one year, and I must admit, after, talking to him at his booth and then sat in on his seminar, like, total respect for that guy. Like, he is a super amazing guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And the stuff that he had to go through to be actually, like, write a comic book, like, the stages he had to go through to get to write G.I. Joe,
mm-hmm.
and everybody turned it down.
Yeah,
they're like, we're not writing that. That's retarded. Yeah. That's stupid. We're not doing that. And he's like, I'll do it.
Yeah, I'll do it.
And then gave him like 6 blank cards and said, okay, these are your characters. He's like, oh.
Yeah, create your own characters. Yeah. Get your own. Like, he did it all.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. Yeah. Apparently him and Hasbro was taking cues from him as far as some of the character creations and stuff like this.
Yeah, and then every once in a while they'd come up with something special and he'd be like, oh man, I have to somehow fit this in the book. It's like, this is a terrible idea. What a way to sell a toy, I guess.
Crossovers.
Yeah, that's right. You're going to get this guy, he's going to have a big serpent head on his head, and he's going to say, la, 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 a lot.
I don't even think it was Serpentor. It was, what's the guy's name? He's a hawk, and he controls hawks. Oh, he had like a stupid gray mask that was like a hawk head, and he's like, I hate that guy. he had absolutely nothing to do with designing him or creating him. And Hasbro's like, this guy's going to be amazing. He like controls birds. And he's like, that's the stupidest.
Caw-caw, caw-caw.
That's the stupidest idea I've ever heard.
Oh man.
It's Aquaman only for birds.
Go crap on that guy's car.
Come to me, flighted shithawk. Come to me.
Mine. Little Fighting Nemo.
Oh my god. So I haven't done this in a while, but sales figures came out.
Ooh.
And I thought this was kind of interesting. I was trying to figure this out. So Marvel's on top again, with 39.75% of all comics shipped were from Marvel. So let's just say 40% of all comics shipped in May were Marvel. 38.5% was DC. So that's only like 1.5%, roughly, give or take.
Yeah.
Difference.
Yeah.
But then you scroll down the list and it says Marvel shipped 118 titles.
Mm-hmm.
DC shipped 60.
Yeah.
So DC captured almost the exact same amount of units shipped with fewer titles. Yeah. So does that mean on average each DC comic is selling more issues per month than each Marvel comic? Yep. Like once you get out of the top 10, more people are reading Red Hood than are reading Spider-Gwen. More people are reading Aquaman than are reading, whatever, Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, I don't know. You got to dig down the numbers to compare. But if they can capture 38.5% of the market share, shipping only 60 books, and then Marvel 118 books.
But out of that 118, I think like 40 of them were the War of the Realms crap.
Yeah, right? Like, oh, like how many of them are, exactly, like how many of those books are crap? Like, Why are people buying this junk?
I don't think they are, but Marvel doesn't care. They just keep doing it.
Now, as far as dollar share goes, obviously Marvel, with the variants and expensive variants and stuff like this, because variants get bundled into this and stuff, they got 40.5% dollar share, while DC got 28% dollar share. Now, DC doesn't have any of those $2.99 books anymore.
Yeah.
So does that mean most of the Marvel books were like special books selling for $4.99, $7.99, $5.99?
Typically, number one issues coming out of Marvel now are minimum $5.99 for their number one.
Like, I remember that one Amazing Spider-Man, was it issue 25? Was $9.99 US?
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, Marvel's kicking DC's butt as far as money goes, but DC seems to be getting, they're not beating Marvel, but they're awfully close to Marvel, pushing fewer books a month. Mm-hmm. So I just mean that, to me, that just means there's a more solid readership for some of the DC titles than there is for the Marvel titles.
Yeah.
So a lot of books there that should be canceled.
I'm enjoying the Red Hood.
When every character and their brother have their own series, it gets a bit ridiculous.
Like, if you look at the top 10 actually sold, and this is units shipped. First one is Deceased, number one. So, again, right away, whenever I look at these lists, I always throw out number ones and miniseries, like event books.
that one is both.
Yeah, and it's both. Doomsday Clock number 10 is the next one, which, again, is a miniseries. Batman Last Night on Earth, that was just a, isn't that
a
three-parter?
Yeah.
Savage Avengers number one, so again, a number one issue. So that's all hype, right? Batman Who Laughs, number 5. That's like the first book on the list, I think, anyways, that...
That's a miniseries, too.
It's a mini as well?
Yeah, that's actually the last issue of that miniseries.
Oh, Jesus.
It might be 6.
Throw
six,
that out.
6, I think, yeah.
And then in 6th place is Amazing Spider-Man 21.
Yeah.
So that's a regular series. Yeah. So according to this, anyways, to me, Amazing Spider-Man on a monthly basis is the top-selling serialized comic book.
But what that says to me is that people are just looking for... short bits.
Yeah.
Like, they like the miniseries. It's 5 issues. It's not a complete, like, money investment. You don't have to have 30 years of backstory to get the 5 issue.
Yeah, but Marvel says that as soon as they put a miniseries label on it, it's a death knell for the series. Nobody buys it unless it's an event.
Yeah, and so the top 5 books are all miniseries?
Mind you, the top 5 books are all miniseries, like DC miniseries.
Yeah.
7th place is Immortal Hulk 17. That book is just on fire.
Yeah.
I have issue 1 and I thought I'd go back and get the issues I'm missing.
No.
What is issue number 2 up to now? $80 or something like that?
And what's the, aside from the fact that it's Bruce Banner Hulk after, you know, the Amadeus Cho, or
yeah.
Did I get that right?
Yeah, Amadeus Cho.
Yeah. Aside from that, what's this?
Apparently, it's just really well written. It's like it's a good series. Okay. So I bought the trade paperback to catch up.
Isn't it the big reveal that each Hulk personality is from the underground dweller Hulk?
Yeah, there's some kind of a
they've changed the origin a little bit.
A little bit, but that's not a big part of it. Like it's still like everybody that I know that's actually reading it is saying that it's a just like Red Hood. It's a good book. It's a well written book.
Yeah, I like Red Hood, solid. I like Red Hood.
And then 2 issues of Batman, right? Batman 70, Batman 71, which I understand DC is getting rid of. There's going to be no more 2 issues a month.
Oh, okay.
Starting, I think, 2020. So no comic book from DC is going to be 2 issues a month. So I think it's still Batman, Justice League, Flash, and Wonder Woman, if I'm not mistaken.
That's kind of smart on their part, because what that does is it allows somebody whose budget is a little smaller, instead of buying 2 of the same book, now they've freed up enough money that they can try another DC book.
Yeah, but up to a certain point, see, I really liked the 2 issues a month. So instead of getting Action Comics and Superman, so that you could get the Superman story, because I don't know if you remember way back in the 90s, they had the triangles on the cover. So you had to read all 4 Superman books to get the story.
Yeah.
Because each one went into the other one. So right away, you're stuck with like...
At least 4 titles.
At least 4 titles, right? So instead of getting Action and Superman and Detective and Batman, I was just getting 2 copies of Superman and 2 copies of Batman every month. So from a budget point of view, it wasn't any different for me, but the story was fresher in my mind.
Yeah.
I was getting 20 pages every 2 weeks, right? So the story was fresher in my mind, and I was really enjoying all the books that were coming out double. So I can see both sides of that coin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if somebody's like a completist, oh no, I have to have my action and I have to have my Superman, then yeah, it's four books a month instead of two that you were expecting.
Yeah.
But if you can make the choice, you know, it's a little bit better. And then Amazing Spider-Man 22, because Marvel doesn't ship two books a month like DC does. We don't do what DC does.
Well, no. Sort of.
Yeah, they do.
Sarcasm. Yeah, they do. Like every other month, I think. When I was getting Deadpool, it was like every other month you'd get two issues.
The official word is 18 issues a month.
Okay.
A year. They ship 16 to 18 issues a year.
I think you mean the title. 18 titles of the same character.
Well, that's different. That's the other thing, right? So if you
40 issues of Spider-Man.
Excuse me. So if you look at this list and take, like I said, take all the miniseries out, take all the number ones out, it's Spider-Man, Hulk, and Batman.
Yeah.
That's all that's in the top 10. Mm-hmm. Now, what becomes the top 10 after you remove all those other things, I don't know because I don't have the rest of the list here. But, you know, I mean, Spider-Man and Batman.
Yeah.
That's what's selling. Nobody's buying 6,000 copies of Captain Marvel. Nobody's buying, you know, 100,000 copies of Teen Titans like they used to. Like, it's just not there.
Mm-hmm. I think people get attached to characters. So the Teen Titans is relatively unknown for people our age.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's Damon Wayne and...
Yeah, it's the new kids.
It's all the new kids on the block, right? So it's like... Who are these kids? And you know what? Some people don't even like Damian Wayne.
Yeah.
And so they're not going to pick up that stuff. But I think people really enjoy like Dick Grayson, who is now Nightwing, and they follow them. And same with Tim Drake. You know, they follow those guys. Mm-hmm. So now that they're not on those books, but they're in, they're still in Batman books, right? So they're still following them.
Yeah. Not to poop on Marvel too much, but Batman Last Night on Earth, number one, was $5.99. So DC does the same thing.
Yeah.
Kind of jack the price up.
It was, what do you call it, prestige format? It was,
oh, is it?
Oh, yeah, it's a...
Oh, it's a fancy book.
Yeah.
Black label. Oh,
okay.
Black.
And it's the black label. Yeah. So see some more...
Oh, is it oversized like the Batman Damned was?
No.
No, it's not that big.
It's a little bit thicker.
It'll fit in your bags and boards, Martin. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Savage Avengers $4.99.
But it has the
Doomsday Clock $4.99.
Yeah, $4.99. I don't know, man.
$4.99.
Oh, that Doomsday Clock was confusing.
I'm not reading it. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna read it once I get all the issues. And it's been what, a year and a half, and I still don't have all the issues for a 1 year miniseries. I'm like, okay, they're just sitting there waiting patiently.
It's a good idea. Yeah. Just read the whole thing all at once, because I'm like,
But not only that, they're like 4 months between issues, so you might as well wait till you have them all, because that way you don't have to wait.
Yeah, exactly. Now, another thing that I thought was interesting, I keep harping on this, but everybody says kids don't read comic books anymore. Kids don't read comic books anymore. And yet, all my kids are reading comic books, Scholastic books kind of comic books. Yeah. Babysitter's Club, and there's some book about a dog. I can't remember what it's called, but it sold 500,000 copies last year. Mm-hmm. 500,000 copies of this graphic novel sold.
Yeah.
You know, and people are like, oh, kids don't read comics. They're like, no, they're reading comics. They're just not going into the dirty, dirty little comic shops run by, you know, you don't understand my comic books. But you're looking at the top 10 graphic novels in trades, right?
I was in one of those comic book shops in Florida, and I was scared, man.
Yeah, exactly. I just saw a documentary on Netflix about female creators.
Yeah.
She Writes Comics, it's called. Yeah. And they were, every single one of them was talking about that, how you walk into like the dirty, dirty comic shop run by like an uber nerd, and they get chased out just by the glares and stuff like this. And I'm like, happens to us guys too. It happens to you ladies far more than it does to us, but... Yeah. We still walk into those kind of shops. It's like, you're not a regular.
Yeah.
You don't understand the procedure and the policy. Don't touch that. That's my personal collection. That's not for sale.
Yeah.
Oh, you should have seen this shop. It was probably only, I don't know, 20 feet wide and about 80 feet deep. And it was just like no shelving. It was long boxes stacked on top of long boxes. And it was like, there was no wall books, and it was dark.
Yeah.
And there was like cobwebs in it. And I'm like, when was the last time somebody was even in this place?
Exactly.
There's a place across the border in Niagara Falls. He has some long boxes of the cheaper stuff out front. But really, the majority of the comics are in the back, stacked in long boxes on this wall, like this huge wall. And he goes, what are you looking for? oh, this, okay, I'll see if I have it. And you can hear him scratching the ladder across the floor, right? And he's pulling out long boxes. This guy's, you know, he's up there. He's pulling out long boxes. Oh, yeah, I got that right here. I was like, holy cow.
How did you find that?
Well, they're all alphabetized. He's got them all. Oh, man. It's just he doesn't want people going through them, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, his store doesn't.
He doesn't have the display space. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a pretty interesting setup, though.
Yeah, this one was just weird. And then the guy was like, I don't know, 110 years old. And I was like, what is going on here? Nobody was in the store. It was just me and this guy. And he was giving me like this weird look. And it was basically what Martin was saying, you know, like, hey, you're not from around here. Like, I don't recognize you.
Yeah. So as I was saying about these Scholastic books, right? If you look at the top 10 graphic novels that were sold.
Yep.
And again, this is units shipped, not by dollar sign. The number one book is Under the Moon, A Catwoman Tale, which is one of, I can't remember if there's DC Spot or DC Ink, but one of those new imprints that DC has to try to mimic that Scholastic book format.
Okay.
So it's an original graphic novel, smaller size, written and geared more towards the young readers and stuff like this. And here it is, top of the list.
Number one.
So, again, people are like, oh, the future of comics. We're looking at the future of comics. Yeah. It's right here. Yeah. Original graphic novels, you know, aimed at kids. And here it is, sold number one. Number two is Umbrella Academy, which doesn't surprise anybody, right? Yeah. And actually, Umbrella Academy Volume 1,
not
Volume
for kids.
2, they're all on here. But Immortal Hulk trade paperbacks here. And then in sixth place, DC Superhero Girls Spaced Out. Again, one of these Scholastic style original graphic novels done for kids. Like, except I'm not sure. That might be like a digital first trade paperback put together. I haven't seen that one. But like this DC Ink and DC Spot, the difference between them is one's meant for young adults, like teens, and one's meant for young kids. I can't tell you which is which, but they released one called Mira, and it was all about Aquaman's.
Yeah, I did see that.
And that one, you know, sold really well and critically acclaimed and stuff like this. And they got a different set of writers writing these. Not, you know, it's not Chris Claremont type people writing these. And so it's right here. You know, here's the future right here.
Yeah. Well, my son read a graphic novel series through school, and I cannot remember what it's called. But it was just something they had in the library at the school, and they let them do book reports on it. And I was like, you know what? This is how you engage kids. Yeah. You give them something they actually want to read. And like, you know, Stephen King is great, but it doesn't fit a 12-year-old.
No.
You know, like.
Well, a sophisticated 12-year-old, but not most.
Well, you know what? I was reading Stephen King when I was 12 years old. But
oh, man.
Oh, well, that's.
Yeah, this Catwoman book's done by Lauren Miracle is her name.
Yeah, I read the last few Batman books and they had advertisements for it now.
Oh, you want to talk about Batman?
Not really, yeah.
Because I had a few moments. So in my to-read pile, I kind of plowed through some books and I read the latest Batman issue. And I'm confused all to hell. I don't know what's going on. I'm understanding that we're still breaking down Batman's persona to crumble him so that he can be forever ultimately changed in the greatest change to the character that has ever happened to the character in ever.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Tom King's been fired.
Yeah.
So <Oops. laughs> tell me there's no coincidence there.
Well, the thing is that from everything that I've read, this looks like an editorial decision where it's like, this sounds like his story that he wants to go through and do is better suited as a miniseries than the main Batman title. Main Batman title should be, you know, punch the Joker, defeat the crime, solve the case. Mm-hmm. Like, let's just get back to basics for the main Batman title.
Yeah.
So he got canned off of Batman, but then immediately turned around and they gave him a miniseries to finish his run.
Yeah.
So it's Batman and the Catwoman. So he's going to be able to finish his run. He's got slightly fewer books to do it in. I think he had 25 issues left, and now he's got 12. Is that
something like that? They didn't end his contract. They just changed
changed it. So they just want the Batman title to be a little bit more generic and less crazy because Tom is still on his quest here to redefine the character for a new generation.
Yeah. I don't know. Every time they do that, you end up with, like, I don't know, a red and blue Superman.
Yeah, it's just, it's like,
Well, the article I read, I could have smacked the writer because his top five choices to take over writing Batman, one of them was Brian Michael Bendis.
Well, you know, there's no doubt in my flipping mind that they've walked across the hallway to Bendis's new grand suite out there at DC, and I'm sure he has an entire floor to himself now. Mm-hmm. And they said, King Bendis, would you grace us with your Midas touch on this book? And he's either decided to or not to.
Yeah. But first thing he'll do is change the origin.
What?
Oh, good.
That's what Tom King is doing, right? Like, he's changing the character to be redefined for a new generation.
Oh, jeez.
Every time I read that, it makes me, like, cringe inside.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, what was wrong with... I'm
fundamentally changing this character that has lasted for 75 years.
Yeah.
Well, it's like me when they're like, oh, we're gonna... This book was amazing. Let's make a movie out of it, but we'll change it all around. Well, you're taking away what made it amazing in the first place. Like, it doesn't make sense to me.
Like the Dark Tower. Like a fantastic book series. And then the movie, okay, I'll be honest. I enjoyed the movie, but it was not the Dark Tower.
Yeah.
Like, it was just a movie with a guy named Roland and a kid named, I forget his name.
I haven't even seen it yet.
I haven't seen it either.
Oh, no?
Because of what I read about it.
It was a pretty decent movie. Like, it was it was action-packed. It was fun to watch. There was all kinds of action and stuff going on. But it was not, like...
Yeah, it was...
You know, there was no man in black walking across the desert, which is what you're expecting to see, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the amazing first line in the first book. And you're just like, oh, I need more. And then you get that and it's like, no, that's not what I needed.
Well, it's like Under the Dome, right? Like, I love that book. The ending was a little iffy, but I love reading the book. And then they make a series and they change and it gets canceled. Oh,
yeah.
There you go.
No, speaking of canceled series,
Swamp Thing.
Like, is it even out? Because
no,
like,
it is on the DC Universe app that we don't get.
Is it then?
Oh, okay.
So two episodes have been aired, but there was a guy on YouTube several weeks ago, and I guess he's an insider and he knows some people. And he said basically they walked in and they said everybody's fired. There were still a few episodes left to film. They just said stop, go away. The writers got back in and changed it because it was supposed to be 12 issues, 12 episodes, and they compacted it so it's only 10. So they rewrote the last two episodes, did some reshoots and stuff, and it just died. And I'm like, come on, you're fear-mongering. It's not true. Shut up. And then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, no, you're only getting 10 episodes and there's no more.
Yeah.
Why?
Apparently it had something to do with Alabama and their tax law.
Yeah.
So they were supposed
North
to get...
North Carolina.
I think it's... Well, the one article I read said Alabama. But anyway, it basically, they were going to give them a certain amount of rebate on on the cost of it. So they were going to give them... I think it was $80 million or something that it cost to shoot
there's a system that they have. But they just wrote a rebuttal, the state of... I'm going to fire you go ahead because I'm going to fire this up so I don't say North Carolina when it is indeed
so maybe they're going to just switch states and film
well
no it's dead
no it's dead, dead now dead? And I'm wondering, like, if that was just to maintain the movie rights, you know, like back in the 90s, right? You know, they to maintain the movie rights, they let Roger Corman have Fantastic Four.
That's if they signed away the rights, right?
Yeah.
But did they? Because, I mean, it's Warner Brothers that's producing it on a Warner Brothers thing.
Yeah, it's weird. It's, the whole thing just sounds like a waste of money.
Yeah.
And I think that it had the potential to be successful. Like, any of the pictures that I've saw, like, I've never seen the episodes, but any of the pictures that I was seeing, which wasn't much, by the way, like, the Swamp Thing looked fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, way
so
better
it says than here. The, says here, the North Carolina Film Office denies reports that there was miscommunication over tax breaks.
Yeah, okay.
So they're saying that no, they knew right from the start going on exactly how much they were going to get. There was no filled in forms incorrectly or anything like that. Well, maybe they applied for some other grant that they didn't get, or maybe, you know, not to get political, but has North Carolina signed like an anti-abortion thing? Or?
That was Georgia.
Because I know Georgia did, and I know there's a couple of other states did, and there's a lot of people jumping up and down saying they're going to pull production from states that do that. And whether that has something to do with it, or maybe you know, like the one guy said that there was creative differences between the writers and whoever.
Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers. So Doom Patrol's been a pretty successful series.
Yeah.
The Titans was pretty successful. So Black Lightning's doing okay.
Doom Patrol.
Why this one got the shaft, I don't know.
But Titans only got one season, right?
So far.
So far.
It'll be back.
Yeah.
Really? Because sure. I was hearing that it wasn't going to be back. That,
who knows?
Like, when it ended, it was supposed to be more, but they didn't make more. Which kind of is like, what are they doing? Are they trying to get people to, like, sign on to this, this online streaming thing that's nowhere near as cool as Netflix, or you know what I mean? Like, is that what they're angling for? And they're trying to get people to feel bad for them because nobody's buying the service?
Get it. It says here, this is an article from April 12th, that Teen Titans Season 2 is confirmed.
Oh, cool.
It's going to, where are we here? Release date, fall of 2019.
Oh, perfect, because when the other one closed, they were like, yeah, that's it, that's all, sorry guys, we're going to leave you with this, like, weird ending, and which I haven't actually made it all the way through, so it's like...
Well, I think there's a shite ton, absolute shite ton of misinformation and people armchair quarterbacking before the fact and spreading rumors and stuff like this, and yet this one guy on YouTube was 100% correct. You know, they did indeed fold up production on Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
they've been talking about that for a while now, though.
But is it like, I don't know if you remember, Batman 66, right? It had, was it three seasons? And the one station, the one network dropped it, and another network was going to pick them up. But by the time that contracts got signed and everything, the Batcave set had been dismantled, and the other network decided to be too expensive to rebuild the Batcave set.
Oh, wow.
So they give up on it.
Yeah.
So maybe something weird, like you just never know all the ins and outs.
Yeah.
Political.
Like I met a writer who writes for TV series and stuff, and he once said to me, like, you have no idea how much stuff I've actually written that almost made it to the screen and then just died in development hell and just never happened.
Mm.
Like, it's just crazy. Like 80% of what he's written never showed up.
Really?
You know. They'll make like a pilot during pilot season and then they won't do anything else. Or he'll have, like you said, a spec script that he's written just so that they can submit a script and say that, you know, yeah, we can retain the rights because we've done this. And I don't know. Seems weird.
Yeah.
Somebody knows what's going on.
Not sure who, though. Yeah.
Unlike me after reading Heroes in Crisis number 9.
Is that Wally
Did you guys
West
read
on
this?
The cover?
It's Wally West on the cover.
I have not read that.
No, I haven't read it yet.
So this is the Heroes in Crisis miniseries. It's a mental health facility for superheroes to go and complain and whine and get patched up. And throughout the whole thing, Wally West kills everybody, but doesn't kill everybody. But then he does kill everybody. But then he kills himself. But then he didn't kill himself because he went back in time and now he's in jail.
Okay, so yeah.
Oh my god.
The cover looks different than the one I've got, maybe.
I don't know. This might be a variant. This says 911, so this is the regular cover. Maybe you got a variant cover.
Yeah, because the one I read was where he went back in time and that person killed himself and not the. Ooh.
Yeah. So the last scene was Wally all, oh, I'm sorry for killing everybody, and he's in the jail cell. So here I am thinking this is going to be the issue that finally deals with red haired Wally West. Finally, let's get this straightened out versus the other Wally West.
So I can start buying Flash comics again.
You know, something. It's like, let's just get this dealt with somehow, some finality to it. If you're going to just write them off like you did Donna Troy all those years ago, then let's just write them off. Like, just deal with it. And they didn't. He's still here. He's still wearing a Flash costume. Excuse me, Flash costume. He's still called the Flash, but he's in jail. In costume.
Was it the present Wally West or the future Wally West that killed everybody?
Yeah, exactly.
And then the future one came back and killed himself.
Like, if the story was more gripping, I probably would reread the whole thing, all 9 issues in one sitting to try to remember what happened. But it's just...
That sounds like
every time,
a pile of convoluted crap.
Every time I buy one of these darn crossover type miniseries that gets delayed like this, I just lose it.
But this is one of those series that's going to define the whole future of DC, right?
It's going to define
the... And that's the kind of stuff that really just makes me twitchy inside. It's like, they're going to redefine everything you ever knew about Wally West. And all the kids are like, who's Wally West?
Yeah, exactly.
He's not and I'm a like, redheaded white guy. He's a black guy.
Yeah. I just shoot me now. And I'm like...
My Wally West. Come on, give me my Wally West back, man.
I just don't get that. I just don't. I mean, there was no reason for the second Wally West to be called Wally West. They could have given him a different name. Like, why is it every single Robin in every single multimedia property other than comics is Dick Grayson? Mm-hmm. Like, every single one of them. Guy's walking around in Tim Drake's costume in the cartoon. He's like, I'm Dick Grayson.
Yeah.
What? Why couldn't you call him? Why couldn't you call him Tim Drake? What difference does it make? Show me one person who wouldn't have watched that Saturday morning cartoon if his name was Tim Drake instead of
that's
Dick Grayson.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, I mean, yeah, maybe you can't mess with Batman's name, but they sure as heck messed with Green Lantern. Like, for an entire generation that were watching Justice League animated cartoons,
yeah,
John Stewart is Green Lantern. Yep. He's the Green Lantern.
Who's Hal Jordan?
Who's these other guys?
Yeah, who's Hal Jordan?
So why did they have to take an existing character, you know, change him? Why didn't they just make a new character? Like, why did he have to be Wally West? Why is there two Wally Wests?
I don't know. It's sort of the same thing when they did Ghost Rider, the movie, right? Like, mm-hmm. at that time, like, the last Ghost Rider was Danny Ketch. It was not Johnny Blaze. Johnny Blaze was, like, a guy with a ponytail and a Hellfire shotgun.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't change. He was a cool character still.
Yeah.
But, like, Dan Ketch was the Ghost Rider. And so then when they're like, hey, guys, let's use the one from the 70s that nobody's going to remember. And it's like, what?
What are you doing? Well,
and then they're like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if we gave him the penance stare, even though he never, ever had it? And I went and watched it with a friend of mine who's like an uber Ghost Rider fan. And he's like, yeah, that sucked. He's like, they took the two Ghost Riders and blended them together and got a steaming pile. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I was not impressed. And I'm like, well, it was kind of a fun movie to watch. But you're right. If you were looking at it from the, oh my goodness, I finally get to see my favorite character on the big screen. And then they're like, and one, it's not your favorite character. It's Johnny Blaze. And it's like, hey, we use Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, I just don't get that. Like, people don't remember. Tony Stark, right? They didn't do a James Rhodes movie for Iron Man. They did a Tony Stark movie. Like, why are you messing with stuff?
See, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., right? When they were bringing in Ghost Rider, but he's going to be Robbie Reyes. I'm thinking, this is going to suck. I really enjoyed it.
You know what? I enjoyed Robbie Reyes. I kind of liked him as... I mean, he wasn't my Ghost Rider from like the one I was reading, but still, he was a neat kind of character, and I kind of enjoyed like the backstory and all the stuff.
That transformation, change.
Yeah. Well, lads, we're probably going to have to leave it there. We're running late and about to expire here. So
expire.
Yeah, exactly. Tune in to Hey Kids Comics Radio Show on the website, www.heykidscomics.ca. You can also listen to us as a downloadable podcast on Google Play, Apple iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and some weird service that Adam Bishop uses. All right, guys, that's it for us today. Thank you very much.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?